Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I climb so far, only to backslide. Lord, I may be sliding back, but I will not abandon you.
Before I became a Christian, I was following a religion. I don't want to mention the name. You can guess because I came from Thailand. And when I followed that religion, I tried to study good religious principle. I tried to meditate. I tried to do a lot of things, give money to the poor, give money to the people in the temple, whatever, try to do good to gain merits. But I discovered that religion did not give me power to be able to live a victorious life. Then I began to turn into animism, even though I believe in one religion. I turned into animism. Animism means believing and following and depending on the power of evil spirit or on superstitious power of the spirit in the world. I did. Because I began to realize that just good teaching is not helping me. I need the power to protect myself, especially at that time, when I was pursuing Da as my girlfriend. A lot of guys, I was a small guy, and I'm still small, relatively small. I don't know why Da liked me. At that time, there's so many big Thai boxers, very handsome men, tried to go after her. So when I was walking on the street in Bangkok, all these Thai boxers came, look at me and challenge me to fight with them because I was pursuing the girl that they like. So many guys at that time. And I was thinking, religion cannot help me. I need power because they can stab me. They can kick me. They can curse, put curse on me. So I sought the power from darkness and I found that power. I depended on the power of darkness so many years until 1980 when I turned to Christ. And I start to learn that Christ loved me. He died for me. He shed the blood to pay the price for my sin and I can go to heaven. But at that time, the group that I went with, the Christian group, did not talk about the power, did not talk about the Holy Spirit. So I went back to square one again. Then I learned the godly principle in the Bible, how to be good, how to be a godly person. But I didn't understand the power of God. Until 3 years later, 1983, somebody came to me and said, actually she is a doctor, she is a pediatrician, baby doctor. Dr. Varun, they call me first name, you need the power of God. I began to read the Bible again, the book of Acts. And I found that, wow, the whole Bible, from the book of Genesis, book of Acts, every book in the Bible talking about the power of God. How am I going to walk in the power so that I can be good witness for God and I can overcome darkness and problems in my life, sickness, disease, demons, evil spirits, and even sin in my own life. And thank God for that lady who told me that the source of the power is from the Holy Spirit. And He can fill you with that power. After I preached last Sunday, I was driving out of the church and God spoke to me. Son, tell my congregation that it's good to know good word in here. The good word, the Bible, the biblical principle is to change, to renew your mind. Because your brain, you still need to use your brain. Is that right on earth? If you don't use your brain, you're in trouble. You need to use your brain to be like a filter. So God put the truth in your mind to be able to filter what is right, what is wrong. What is correct, what is incorrect. What is godly, what is ungodly. So God put the truth in so that the filter will be pure and can tell what is right, what is wrong. But God said that a lot of Christians just depend on that truth alone. He spoke to me that, in fact, knowing the truth is good, but it's more important to have and to walk with the person. The key, the important key of victory in Christian life is to have the person living on the inside of you, walking with you, empower you, moving you, filling you, inside you. If you have that person, if you have the relationship with that person, you will be powerful. You will live a powerful life. Christianity is not religion. It's about having the person named Jesus Christ, His Spirit, living on the inside of us, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and He keep moving and working on the inside of us fully. Amen. Lately, people wonder why I am more quiet. I give you an example. I don't say a lot of things anymore. I talk less. Because in the past, I talk a lot because I talk out of my mind and my flesh. But lately I learned that it's not about me talking, but it's about me yielding to the Spirit of God on the inside of me. And the Spirit on the inside will only talk the loving things, the forgiving things, the faith things, the powerful things. So if I hook up, let the person on the inside of me, the Holy Spirit, fill me up and work through me, I will do and say and move only with that person is moving and doing. Actually, that's how Jesus lived. It's not in the PowerPoint, but I'm going to read to you. I just feel led by the Holy Spirit to give this introduction. This is just introduction. So the sermon is much longer. This is how Jesus lived. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, in John chapter 5, verse 19, I say to you, listen carefully, the Son can do nothing of Himself. Wow, this is the Son of God is speaking. The Son of the living God say, I can do nothing of myself, but only what He sees the Father do. Jesus did not say, I do only what the religious book tell me to do. This is relationship. This is the person. The Spirit of the Father was living on the inside of Jesus Christ. And He said, I can only do what I see the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does like in like manner. Who? I want to live like that. If I want to live like that, I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. I need to know the person named the Holy Spirit. I need to learn how to commune, how to lock my arm with Him and walk with Him every single day. Everyone say, the person. It's not the religious law. It's not just a big textbook. It's not just good preaching and good teaching. But it's about relationship. Walking daily with the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. And what kind of people can do like that? In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, the Bible says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me.'" In other words, if you want to walk a Spirit-filled life, you need to die to your own agenda. You need to die to your own plan. You need to live for God's plan. You need to say, "I agree that God is real. Holy Spirit is real. His plan is better than my plan. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I'm going to give up my own plan. I'm going to follow Him. I will decrease and He increases in my life." My dear brothers and sisters, that's what happened in the book of Acts in the early church. I don't want just to give you preaching only how to do this, how to do that. It's that all good teaching. Don't take me wrong. But I think the most important thing is that to teach you as the pastor that you walk with the person. Let me ask all the men in this room, which one you choose? JR, between living with the letter that Amanda sent to you, or marry her and living with her body, with the person, which one better? Do you want to live with the letter of Amanda or live with the person Amanda? Amen. The same thing. Thank God for this letter. Thank God for the Word of God. But it's not enough just to have the letter. We need, thank God, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God can fill all of us and help us and do the work on the inside of us and move us. We want to have that intimacy with the Spirit of the living God. Amen. And God will give this Spirit to those who fear Him. In Acts chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. 120 people died to their own agenda. They were waiting on the upper room for 10 days. I believe that more than 120 people were there from the first day. But many of them were too hungry. They got out to the Chinese restaurant and Japanese and Vietnamese restaurant to eat pho. Some of them too busy. They have to do business. Some of them worry about that girlfriend, so they have to leave the room too early. They did not wait until 10 days, until the end. They did not die to their own agenda. But these 120 people were filled with the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. Thank God that we as Christians, we don't just follow religious law and have religious principle. But we have the Almighty God. They come with power. He can impart the power into you. You can live a powerful, supernatural life. He come. The Bible says He came like a sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind. Not just a breeze. Not just like this. But He's a powerful God. He created the heavens and the earth. He created all the animals that you see on earth here, the giraffe, the dogs that you have at home, the cats. He's so powerful. He created everything. He came like a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. The fire of God came. And one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. Everyone say filled. With the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. My dear brother and sister, people who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, like that 120, those 120 people, must fear God enough. What does it mean to fear God? Fear God means like this. Lord, whatever you want, I want. Whatever you love, I love. Whatever you hate, I hate. You know what God? What does God hate? He hates sin. He doesn't hate people. He hates sin. Whatever you want, I want. I die to my own agenda. I want your ways, not my ways. Whatever you want, Lord, I fear you. I want to please you. I want to make you smile. I want to make you happy in my life. My dear brother and sister, and these 120 people were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. Maybe some of them spoke heavenly tongues, the tongue of heaven. Some of them may be speaking human tongues. But whatever tongue is a tongue that they never learned before. My dear brother and sister, in 1983, I never forgot. When I walked out to the altar with my wife and I gave my life to Jesus. Jesus, I gave my life to you. I mean, I already was a Christian, but that day I dedicate my life to serve God. And when that Englishman, English doctor, he's a family doctor, preacher, lay hand on my head, I never forgot. I felt like a electric city or like a waterfall, like a Niagara fall, came upon my head, running through my head down to the bottom of my toes, bottom of my soul. And I feel that power on me. And my mouth began to open and I spoke in the tongues and I never know before. I was speaking in tongues, in other language. And I was shaking and crying in the power of God. You know, God is powerful. How many people have experienced putting your finger in the power socket, the electrical power socket? Who gonna go? The building or you? You go. Is that right? The same thing when the power of God came on you. Somebody has to go, and usually you. You either cry, or you fall, or you laugh, or you shake. Something happened because the power of God is so overwhelming. That's why when we go to heaven, we need a glorified body. This body cannot stand in the presence of God. I mean, I'm talking about God show up. If God show up in this room in the real way, Jesus walking into this room in the tangible way, I mean, I'm talking about the body of Jesus come from heaven, standing here. You are going to fall on the ground. You will not be able to stand His power and glory. He's so big. He's so powerful. At that moment, I was speaking in tongue. And you know, at that moment, I can say like what that man say in the Bible. I was blind, but now I can see. Even 5 elephants in Thailand, in the north part of Thailand or Chiang Mai, cannot drag me and say God is not real anymore, because I was touched by God, because I experienced the power of God, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You know, I am a medical doctor. I learn about evolution. I learn about that guy named Darwin tried to say that I come from monkey and apes. At that time, when the Spirit of God touched me and I spoke in tongue, I was shaking and God is so real. I say, Darwin, bye-bye. I don't care what you say. I believe in the book of Genesis. I believe that I was created by God. Both evolution and Christianity are both our faith. They are faith, both of them. You cannot go back 2,000 years ago to prove anything. It's all history. But if you're going to choose, I choose Jesus who touched me and I speak in tongue. I don't choose that guy named Darwin. And he already in the grave and he died already. But my Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father and he still came down on earth to touch his people. I don't want to argue with any scientists anymore about evolution and creation. I don't care what they say. I know I was touched by God and God is real to me. If somebody in this room come to tell me, Da come from an ape, Thou is not good. Thou is mean. Thou is not good. I say, too late. It's too late. Thou is beautiful. Thou is good. Thou is gentle. Thou is not from an ape. Thou is from God. She has the nature of God in the inside of her. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's why I don't argue with people about evolution. It's too late. If you get touched by God one time, you know Amen. That the book of Genesis is real. That's it. You either choose to believe Darwin or you choose to believe Jesus. I rather choose to believe Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Don't take me wrong. I love evolutionists. I'm not against them. But I believe in creation. Whether 6 days, 6,000 days, I cannot prove it. I cannot go back there. But what I know is that we were created by God. That's it. I'm not from animals. And I will never accept that I'm animals. I'm a human being created by God. In the image of God. Amen. Those people in Jerusalem at that time, on the day of Pentecost, they came from over the world and they heard these 120 guys and ladies, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, spoke in tongue, blah, 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 spoke in their own language. They were shocked. They say, what is this? And Peter answered, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. What did prophet Joel say? And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Joel gave the promise of the Father many hundred years before the upper room experience, the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They look like drunk people. They look like weird people. They speak in tongues. They laugh. They walk like this. They were so overwhelmed with the Spirit of God in that room that day. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this. The first church in the world was birthed under the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Not the methodology, not the good teaching of a man, but it was birthed under the outpouring of the Spirit of the living God. Church, whether you welcome the Holy Spirit and will not be ashamed of His coming, or you will reject Him. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. If you reject Him, He will never bother you. But if you welcome Him, He will come and do great and mighty work in you and through you. Amen. Let's look at what the Bible say here. Everyone say, the promise of the Father. I know that my kids love this word. When my kids come to me, I need a new purse. And I sometimes get, I'm tired from work, and I didn't think, and I say, okay. Oop. Oh, I say yes already. Oh, I tell you, on the weekend, she came. Dad, let's go to Bellevue Mall. I need a new purse. I need a new jacket. And I have to keep my promise. So since then, I have to be very careful what I say. Because the promise of the Father have to come to pass. Is that right? You are the children of God. And God promised you good things. And the good things is the Holy Spirit. Not it, but He. Holy Spirit is not it. It's He. He is. But it's a good thing for you. It's a good person for you. Will you welcome the promise of the Father? Or will you reject the promise of the Father? I encourage you today to welcome the promise of the Father. In Acts chapter 2, verses 32 to 33, talking about the promise here that happened in the upper room that day, This Jesus, God has raised him, mean from the dead, of which you were all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out, in other words, Jesus received the Holy Spirit from the Father, and then he poured out that which, this which you now see and hear. Everyone say, see and hear. Why see and hear? As I say, who want to be a model for us? I can tell that everyone gonna see and hear. If you want to be a model, maybe Yukiko. You can be a model. I put your finger into that socket, the electrical socket. I can guarantee everyone gonna see and hear. You're gonna hear Yukiko. Ah! Oh! You see, she was shaking. And you hear, she cry. Ah! Is that right? Maybe cry Japanese way. How Japanese cry? Maybe different from Thai people. Huh? Bonsai, bonsai, bonsai. Something like that. There is a word bonsai? No, I just make it up. Some people say, oyo, oyo, oyo. How Americans cry? Ouch, ouch, ouch. Oyo, maybe Chinese. How Hong Kong people cry? I don't know. Hallelujah. Ayah, ayah, yeah. Ayah, ayah, ayah. You can see and you can hear when the Spirit of God come to touch you. That's what happened in the upper room. Because when the Holy Spirit come, the promise of the Father, he come to impart, to inject, to fill you up with the power of God. So that you will have power to live an overcoming life, victorious life. You can rule and reign in your life. When sickness come, you say, sickness, go away in Jesus' mighty name. When the devil come into your home, get out of here in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You have the power, you can rule and reign with that authority and power that God gives to you. Luke chapter 24, verse 49, the Bible says, behold, this is what Jesus said to all the disciples. I send the promise of my Father. What is the promise? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon you. But tarry, which means wait, in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued, mean cloth, endued mean all over you, with power. Everyone say power. You can see the connection. In other words, I have two choices. When my kids turn 18, whether they walk to school or I buy them a car. You notice I say 18. My kid raised hand. No, no, dad, 16. I just give them a hard time. You know, the father say, I'm going to give you a car to drive to school. Oh, they record this as a promise now. Okay, I'm done. The same thing. The Father in heaven say, you become my child now. I want to give you a car. I want to give you power. And that power comes by the infilling or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon your life. How many people in the world will not want that? Let me ask this, all the kids in this room, how many people want a car when you turn 16? Oh, wow. I cannot promise you because I'm not your dad. You need to talk to your dad and mom. How many people in this room as a child of the living God want God to give you the power to live a victorious life? Amen. That's what happened. And you know, when you look at the Bible, you notice one thing. The devil is a spirit too. The angel, the fallen angel, demons, evil spirit, all in the spirit realm. Whether you, or actually, it's interesting. Last Wednesday, I have a conversation with two doctors and one physician assistant. They all turned to me that, Dr. Lau, I believe that the spirit world is real. I mean, this is talking from non-believer. I say, what happened to you? I'm not teaching doctrine here. Just tell what they say to me, okay? Don't take this as a doctrine. They say that, oh, my mother-in-law died, in other words. My mother-in-law died. And suddenly, somebody called from the telephone of my mother-in-law that has been canceled a long time ago. And that number has not been used. And my wife and I had a goosebump. And I he said, I believe that there is a spirit world now. This is a doctor. Another man said the same thing, that when somebody died in our house, we saw the spirit. The spiritual world is real. Is that right? And even non-believers believe that. And in fact, I prepare something to give to this doctor this coming Wednesday to witness to him about Jesus Christ. Because he's open. He said, I have to think hard now. What am I going to do? Actually, I preach to him right away. I say, you know, Howard, you need to think this way. We're going to leave this world, we're going to die. And we have life next year. Next life. We're going to have life next in the next life after we die. Are you well prepared for the next life yet? Who? Howard, the doctor, say, I have not prepared yet. I just dropped the seed into his heart that you need to live this life carefully. Prepare yourself for the next life. So this Wednesday, I'm going to give him something. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the spiritual world is real, but the devil and God work in a different way. When the Holy Spirit comes, he comes with noise. But when the Spirit of God leaves, he leaves quietly. You don't even know. When the devil comes, he comes quietly. He sneak in. He's a thief. You know, when the thief come into somebody's house, will do what? Come in quietly. But when he leave, very loud. So when you cast out demons, you heard, you know, you fight with demon. The demons do not want to go. So they fight with you. But when they come in, you don't even know. They sneak in. They just flow into your home, your life, and try to destroy you. But when the Spirit of God comes, he comes loud. You can see, you can hear. That's why Helen was talking a while ago when Helen gave the testimony that, wow, I come to this show the first time, weird. What's going on here? Why people laugh, people cry, people fall down, a lot of things going on? Because the Holy Spirit show up. Or maybe some of them because the devil is going and leaving. That's why it's loud. God kicked out some demon out of the people in this church. So the manifestation in the church can be either way. Can be the Spirit of God touch people, or the evil spirit are leaving. But no matter what, it's good for them. Good for people. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at, I quote the scripture, you can see that what I say is right. Look at Samson. Samson, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But when he sinned against God, the Spirit of God left him quietly. Look at what happened in Judges chapter 16, verse 20. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before. I mean, he thought that he still have the anointing, the power of God. At other times, and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord has departed from him. So in other words, when the Spirit of God left Samson, the anointing left Samson, he did not even know. He left quietly. My dear brothers and sisters, when the Spirit of God comes, you will see and hear. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Now, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is only for the Jews. Is it only for people who graduate from Bible school? It's only three people in Jerusalem. It's only four people in upper room in the early church time. I'm going to show you. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit for everybody. Then Peter said to them, repent, mean turn away from sin. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, mean the person of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, mean the Jews on that in that room at that time, in that city, Jerusalem, and to your children, and to all, everyone say all, including you, yeah, all who are afar off. How many people are far off from Jerusalem? Raise your hand up. We all are far off from Jerusalem. As many as the Lord our God will call. My dear brother and sister, the promise of the Father is for everybody. If all the Christians can receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, whether you are Vietnamese, you are Chinese, you are Hong Kongese, you are Taiwanese, you are Filipino, you are Americans or Latino, it doesn't matter. You are the candidate to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And what I say again here is the person. You need that person, the Holy Spirit, to fill you up. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to explain to you. I know that I have limited time. Should I stop soon or should I go on? Go on. I want to explain to you by showing you many scriptures. Two facts. The first fact I want, the first truth I want to show you is that getting filled with the Holy Spirit and being born again are a different experience. They are not the same. Not the same time. Two, I want to show you that every time people were filled with the Spirit, there was an outward physical manifestation. Speaking in tongue, prophecy, drunk, whatever. But the main thing is speaking in other languages. It's a sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit according to the book, into the book of Acts or to, in the Bible. Let's look at the first experience and I will continue next time. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 to 6. Look at what happened to the ministry of Philip. Philip served the table. Philip was working as a deacon in the church, serving a table. And one day, God sent him out as an evangelist to a city named Samaria. He was preaching the gospel, preaching Christ. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Wow. In the church that God is moving, in the meeting that God is moving, people can see and hear. Amen. Many times people just only see the stop sign in the church, be quiet sign. But we want God to demonstrate his power in the church. People can see and hear. And then verse 7 and 8 say, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed. Many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Look at verse 12. So Philip was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the anointing. He ministered under the anointing and supernatural thing happened in that city. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So how many people agree when you read this verse 12 that many people in that city, Samaria, city of Samaria, were born again? How many people agree with me? Were they born again? They believe in the name of Jesus? They were baptized in water? They were born again? They became Christians? Amen. But interesting that later on, the apostle in Jerusalem sent somebody down there to lay hand on them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. My dear brothers and sisters, this is a problem in the history. The Jews tried to know Jesus. Tried to know the Father, apart from Jesus. And the church today, Christians, try to know Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit. You will never really know Jesus without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, God will be too far away from you. You know, some of you sitting here, Pastor, what are you talking about? I don't really feel God. I don't feel Jesus. It's just so distant for me. You know what happened? Because you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. You try to know Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit. Look at what the Jews say in John chapter 9, verses 28 and 29. Then they revived him, meaning Jesus, and said, "You are his disciple." They were talking to the disciple. "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God," meaning the Father, "spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." In other words, the Jews try to know the Father, but refuse the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know that we know the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. People who are filled with the Holy Spirit will have deeper, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit comes to testify about Jesus. Now look what happened. They were born again. Acts chapter 8 verse 14 say, "Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God." In other words, the people in Samaria received the word of God and were born again. Everyone agree? They sent Peter and John to them. To do what? Let's continue to read. Okay, you can see they have an experience of being born again. Separate experience already. Now, what is the next experience? Acts chapter 8, verses 15 to 18. "Who, when they had come down, pray for them that they might receive," wow, "the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them." They were born again, but they haven't received the promise of the Father, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is the separate, distinct experience from being born again. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, being baptized in water. Then they laid hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw, oh, everyone say, saw. You remember a while ago, I say, what you sees and hears. Simon saw physical manifestation. Simon saw something happening when the apostle lay hand on these new believers. Laying on of hands has been practiced from the book of Genesis all throughout the book of Revelation. A lot of people come to our church and wonder, why we lay hand all the time? It's in the Bible. It's a way of impartation. It's a way of impartation of the things of heaven into your life. God used that way to impart the Spirit of God and the blessing of God on people. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostle hands, the Holy Spirit was given and he offered them money. Oh, Simon saw, wow, this is good. When you lay hand, you can see miracle and signs and wonder. I want that too. Can I buy that? Can I pay money to get that anointing? I'm not going to go into that detail. But what we learn from this story, and we continue next week, I'm going to show you scripture after scripture about why we believe that the infilling of the Holy Spirit is a separate experience from being born again, and there is sign to follow. And that sign in the book of Acts is speaking in tongue and can be other signs too, add on. But the main sign is speaking in a new tongue. Can be human tongue that you never learned before. Some of you may start to speak Japanese that you never learned before. Or maybe heavenly tongue. And it's a separate experience from being born again. But you may also have added on other signs like prophecy, prophesying, falling down, laughter, being drunk. You understand the word? How many people got drunk before with alcohol? Raise your hand up. Don't be shy. I'm not going to blame you. But not anymore. Is that right? You had experience. Had. Not have had. How many people had experience of being drunk? Had. I had. I got drunk one time when I was graduate from, graduate from, not high school, from 4 years of college, 4 years, before I go into medical school. I went to a friend party, and they just gave me a lot of alcohol. And I never forgot. That day, I was like this. You know, like walk and laugh and throw up. And I, in my mind, I hope Dad doesn't know this. I hope Dad doesn't know this. You know, I don't want my girlfriend to know that I got drunk that day. And I was really drunk that day. And in night, in year, what year is now? 2006, okay. Around year 2000, when Kenneth Hagin came to Seattle, that's the first experience I got drunk. Kenneth Hagin walked in the Holy Spirit. No. thank you. Not in the alcohol. Not by alcohol. Got drunk by the Holy Spirit. You know, Kenneth Hagin walked through the in the room in the city church. And I was praying, come here, lay hand on me, come here. Yeah, I was praying, but he walked away from me. I was so upset, why he walked away from me? And at that time, God said, if you draw near to me, I draw near to you. You start to drink right now the new wine of God, the Spirit. And he doesn't have to lay hand on you. You just suck out of him. Just like a straw. You know, so I look at him and I, in my spirit, like this. Suddenly, the Spirit of God came upon me. And I was really drunk in the Spirit. Drunk in the Spirit. And many people witnessed that day. I was like, people have to hold me like this to the car. I could not stand up. My whole body, the leg and arm, lost strength and cannot even, look like drunk person. I mean, if people don't know, if they put me in front of the bar, the people will think that I'm drunk by alcohol. Look exactly the same. But it's more fun. Drunk in the Holy Spirit, more fun than alcohol. You don't throw up, you laugh. Amen. And since that day, my life has never been the same. I was touched by God again and again and again. God is real. Amen. The Spirit of God is real, and it gives you the power to live a victorious life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the revelation that we learn in the body of Christ from many, many preachers. Thank God for Kenneth Hagin and Lord, for many preachers, from Derek Prince and Father, from pastor and preacher and evangelist and prophet around the world that I learned from them. Father, this thing I learned from many people and I learned from experience myself with you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation to the body of Christ in the end time. Like this, Father, Lord, we embrace the promise of you to this church, that people will be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, prophesize, get filled by the Spirit of God. Father, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your faithfulness, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.